You're listening to guest speaker Don Roy, speaking at Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
Well, if you don't know me, my name is Don Roy, and I'm going to be the guest speaker this morning. And am I in the way?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Rookies. Anyway, Pastors Kent and Brian, they are freaks, and that is, they are freaky smart. They memorize their messages every week. It's like, are you kidding me? Well, I'm not freaky smart. I can't remember last week, so I have my notes. But I spoke over New Year's. I don't know if you were here, but I had mentioned that, I had lost my son to a drunk driver, and because of that, I had a lot of people come up to me and ask me, say, hey, Don, why do bad things happen to good people? And I thought, you know what, that's a great topic to talk about. What a good message, right? And then I had to think about it. I go, okay, well, who's good, right? Define good. We all think we're good, right? And I'm pretty good compared to Hitler and Charlie Manson, right? I'm a pretty good guy. Compared to the Apostle John, I'm not so good. Yeah. So, but this morning, let's just assume that we're all pretty good people, right? And we're all pretty good people. And so the question is, why? Why do bad things happen? Why did I lose my son? Why is somebody in a wheelchair? Why do you lose your job? Why can't you find a job? These are tough questions. Why does God allow this to happen? And our verse this morning is from Psalm 42, verse 9. It's, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, just ask that you would speak through me, that your words would just fall on the hearts and the minds of the people here. And Father, we just don't understand sometimes what it is that we're going through or why you allow these things in our lives. And we just ask that we would put our trust in you and know that you know what's best for us and you're working in our lives for a purpose. And Father, we just ask for clarity this morning. Help us to better understand why we're going through some of the things that we do go through. So we just ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what's the psalmist really saying here? As you read the psalms, pretty consistently through them, they're always, basically what he's saying is, my God, why have you allowed this in my life? Those are the psalms, right? And what did I do? That's us, right? We're always saying, hey, what did I do? I didn't deserve this. And I don't think it's wrong to ask God why. I don't think it's wrong at all. I question God all the time. I don't question his existence. I know he's there. But I question why he allows things to happen. And, when you look, you see Jesus did the same thing. He's hanging on the cross, and he's going, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? So if Jesus can ask why, Don Roy can ask why, right? We're okay, right? So don't think it's wrong to ask, why God? It isn't wrong. Don't expect an answer, though. You can ask all you want, and maybe the Lord will give you an answer. But in most cases, he's not going to. We wouldn't understand it anyway, sometimes. So here's what we need to say. Well, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. And trust, that's big. We're going to talk about that in a second there. But even Jesus struggled, right, with God's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, under intense pressure, in Luke 22:44, it talks about his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. Whew. He's sweating blood, right? Jesus literally was sweating blood, and he said, "Father, if it is your will, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." What an example, right? So there has to come a point, right, when we say, "All right, Lord, I'll do it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't even think it's a good idea to do it, but I'm going to do it because you told me to. I'm trusting in you," right? Here's the trust again. Trust is a big thing. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we need to do as well. So now we're getting into the reasons why. The Lord allows difficult circumstances for three reasons. The first is to accomplish his intentions. And what do I mean by accomplish his intentions? Well, we got to go back to the Old Testament. I'm going to use an illustration of Joseph, who was the 11th son of Jacob. And he was kind of the fair-haired boy, really didn't do anything wrong, but his father favored him. And his brothers were jealous and they wanted to kill him, right? But instead of killing him, they sold him off into a caravan going to Egypt. And here he is, a kid, he's going to Egypt. He ends up at at Potiphar's place, captain of the guard, and he grows up, becomes a handsome man, and he's doing well, but Potiphar's wife takes a liking to him, and she wants to have him, and he runs, right? She gets offended and claims that he raped her, and he didn't. He did the right thing. He ran. Potiphar comes home and has to save face. He knows Joseph's heart, and he could have had him killed, but he didn't. He had him thrown in jail. So now he's sitting here in jail. He hasn't done anything wrong pretty much his whole life, and he's sitting in jail. He's got to be saying, "Why? Why, God? Why me? Why am I sitting here? I didn't do anything." And that's a pretty tough deal. Well, to make a long story short, he becomes the number two guy in the entire Egyptian kingdom under the Pharaoh, right? The king of Egypt. And he's in charge of all the food. And there's a famine in the land. All his brothers from Canaan had to come down and buy some food. And who did they have to buy the food from? Joseph. But he's grown up now. He's got an Egyptian haircut, got Egyptian clothes on, probably has an Egyptian accent. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes his brothers. And so they come to buy the food, and Joseph kind of messes with them a bit. But ultimately what ends up happening, they have this this dinner, and Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And they had this big cry fest and all this stuff. But Joseph, basically what he said, he says, "Look, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And it was at that point in time that Joseph realized why, what God was doing in his life, going through his whole life. He put him in a position to save the nation Israel. And so God told him why, but sometimes we don't know why. Usually we don't. We have to trust God. Let me tell you a story about myself. This is a long time ago when I was in high school, right? I played football, and the coach is, "Hey, Roy, get in here," right? So I'm in the office, thought I'm in trouble again. And they go, "Hey, we need somebody to go to the UCLA football game and be an usher, and we picked you." And I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. I'm not in trouble. I can make a couple of bucks and I'm gonna go to a college football game. This is all right. You know, I don't know why they picked me, but they picked me. And so I get to the game and I'm dressed up nice. I put my nice corduroys on. They were in style back in the day. And they put me in the student section. I'm thinking, right on, this is really cool. Can it get any better? I'm a high school kid. I got all these college girls everywhere, right? And so the first quarter's going on, and a couple of minutes into it, I see a little hole in my pants, my corduroys, my best pants, right? I go, wow, that's weird. A couple minutes later, I see a hole in the other pant. And I'm going, man, I must be brushing up again. So I looked all around. I couldn't find anything that I was rubbing on. A few more minutes go by, I had another hole. Going, oh, this is not good. I go, Lord, what's going on? Help me out here, man. I'm just a high school kid, you know? And I get, the first quarter's over, and I got five holes in each leg. And I'm freaking out. I'm going, what in the world is going on? And I'm just, all I can, I'm thinking, you know, just don't lose my pants. Don't lose my pants, right? Well, at halftime, my right leg fell off, right? My pant leg's gone, right? And so now I look stupid, so I have to kind of pull the other one off, right? And it's halftime, and I look like I'm Tom Sawyer, right? My pants are like this. And all I can think of is, you know, I don't get paid until the end of the third quarter, right? And I need the money. And my pants are starting to shrink. And I'm going, Lord, let them just hang on until the third quarter, right? And so it gets to the third quarter, and I'm beelining over to the will call. I get my money, and I'm just running to my car, hoping that there's going to be something left by the time I get there. Because, you know, I was 17 at the time. If I was my age now, they would have arrested me, right? But I'll tell you what happened if you stay for the rest of the service. Okay. That's my hook, right? Now you gotta stay. Okay, but anyway, God has a purpose for us, and he's using us for a reason. You know, Joseph didn't know what his purpose was, right? Until later off in life. And excuse me here. The next thing is to develop our character. He wants to make us into something, right? He's the potter, we're the clay. You know, he's gonna make us either an ashtray or a vase or you know, a cup or whatever, right? Problem is, we don't want to be what he wants to make us. I don't want to be an ashtray. No, you're going to be an ashtray. I don't want to be an ashtray. No, you're going to be an ashtray, right? He knows what's best. You know, it's just the way it is. So we learn about ourselves as we go through trials. One of the most important lessons that we learn is how we're dependent on him, right? We can do nothing without him. We're like an infant dependent upon its mom. Without its mother, the infant's not going to live, right? And that's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be 100% totally dependent upon him. And the problem is we become prideful. We want to be in charge. Hey, God, I know what I'm doing. You know, I can do it. I don't need you. Yeah, you can be my co-pilot, but I'm the pilot. I'm taking over here. And that's when we get into trouble. We just don't. God loves a humble heart. He wants us to be humble. And it takes us a long time to learn that. It's, you know, why? Because the Bible refers to us as sheep. A sheep's about the dumbest animal on the planet. It's kind of funny, that's what it refers to us as, because that's what we are. We're stubborn and we just don't get it. So we have to go through the pain for God to use us. And why? To help others. For me, I can help other people that have lost their kids. Why? Because I've gone through it. I know their pain. I know how they feel, and I can help those people. There are other people out there that are drug addicts. They can help other drug addicts. I can't help a drug addict. I don't know how they feel. I don't understand. You know, I'm just fooling myself. I can tell them things, but you know, whatever it is, God gives us an opportunity. Whatever's happened in our life, we can use it for God's glory. We can use it to help other people. So the big one, when does God stop? Well, I like to use this story about this guy who finds a big nugget of gold, right? And how does he purify it? How do you purify gold, right? Well, you heat it up as hot as you can possibly get it. And you keep heating it, and you keep heating it until all the perfections are out of it. And how do they know when all the imperfections are out of it? When they can see themselves in it. When they can see their reflection in the gold. How does God know when to stop with us? When he can see himself in you and me. That's when he stops. The question is, are you reflecting Jesus' image? You know, if I were to go to your neighbor or the people in your workplace or to the little league field, are you reflecting Jesus Christ? Well, I know if I went to the little league field, you're not reflecting Jesus Christ. As I've been there and I know it, and I know how the parents are. Okay, they're mean and angry. You wouldn't think there's a Christian in the whole bunch, right? Yeah, that including me too, right? But the key. The fact is, God will allow so-called bad things to happen to us in the course of our days. But as time goes by, you will find that the significant things you learn in life didn't really come from the good times and the mountaintop experiences. They came from those times of crisis in which you were more dependent on God. Many of the most difficult days will, in retrospect, turn out to be unbelievably valuable, because it's through those so-called bad times that you will learn some of life's most important lessons. And isn't that true? Whenever you're really, really hurting and you're going through something really difficult, right? That's when you're closest to God. That's when you cling to him. That's when you lean on him the most. So, let's trust him, right? Whatever our circumstances or hardships, let's believe his promise to his children. And here's that word trust again. And I like to tell a story about trust, the difference between believing in something and trusting in something. The story is, there's this circus act, this guy who does tightrope walking, right? And he's going to tightrope walk across Niagara Falls. And everybody gathers, and they're going, oh man, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're gonna die. And if he falls, he will die, right? And so the crowd all gathers, and they watch him, and he makes it all the way over to Canada. And he turns around, and he comes back. And the crowd is cheering, yeah, you're awesome, this is really good, all that stuff, right? And he goes, who thinks I can do it again? Yeah, we think you can do it again, all right? Who believes that I can push a wheelbarrow across it again? There's a few people still, yeah, we believe you can do it. Who trusts me enough to get in the wheelbarrow? And all the hands come down, right? So, you know, there's believing. We all believe in God, most of us here, I'm sure, believe in God. We're on the team. We're making it to heaven. But are you trusting in him? Are you getting in the wheelbarrow? Whew. That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level. So the good news, he'll never give us more than we can handle. Never give us more than we can handle. So at times I think he really thinks highly of me. And probably most of you too, right? Because it's like, wow. Sometimes you just don't think you're gonna make it. And it's not like you have a death wish, or you're not suicidal. It's just like, you just don't care. Like, God, oh, the pain, right? And God says, hey, son, you got a job to do. You have people to reach. You have a family to take care of. Man up. You know, you can do it. I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. So the third thing, why bad things happen, is to discipline his kids, right? Do you need a spanking? Spiritually. Right, do you need a spanking? Some of us need a spanking, you know? Me, yeah. He's our Father. He disciplines his kids, right? He doesn't want us to sin. Why? Sin separates. God cannot coexist with sin. It's one of the things he can't do. He can't coexist with sin. He doesn't want us to sin. You see, kids understand two things: pain and the absence of pain. And it reminds me of a story. My father just passed away, and we had his service on Sunday. And so you're going through some of these stories as a kid. You kind of bring them up, and it kind of really kind of fits right here. One of my brothers and I, when we were really young teenagers, we rode our bikes to the beach, and while we're there, you know, there's some cute girls kind of hanging around us, and it was like, wow, this is kind of cool. And the time just flies, right? Just goes by, and all of a sudden it's starting to get dark. Going, ooh. So my brother Jimmy goes, hey, Dad's gonna kill us. I said, nah, he's a dude, he'll understand, you know? So we get home, he didn't understand, right? He goes, oh, you boys get in the room, I'm gonna go get my belt, right? You know, see, back in the day, they really disciplined. They don't discipline today, right? They tell you to go into the room, and, you know, and it's like they got their iPad, their iPod, their video games, and all this stuff. There's no discipline today. But anyway, so we're in the room, what I do is I take my pants off, and, you know, I'm a brief guy, but back then I was wearing boxers, right? And I put on 10 pairs, right? And then I put my pants over them, thinking, you know, I need all the padding I can get, right? And my brother Jimmy's going, whoa, okay, so he did the same thing, right? So we're leaning over the bed, and, you know, my dad's going wham on me, and then wham on my brother, and wham on me, and we're faking, you know. And later we heard him on the phone talking to his friend, yeah, really gave it to those boys today, you know, and all that stuff, and me and my brother high-fiving each other going, yeah, we got away with it, man, this is cool. So the next day, because there was no pain, we took off to the beach again. Right? And same thing happened. You know, the same girls were there, and time just flies by, and we're thinking, you know what? No big deal. We'll just throw the padding on, right? And we did. We threw the padding on. We went and did the same thing. Get in your room, you know? So we put the padding on. This time my dad came in. He's got the belt like this. He goes, all right, pull down your drawers. And it's like, no, not on the bare skin. Whew. There was pain. There was so much pain, we couldn't go to the beach again because we couldn't sit on the bike, right? The seat hurt just to sit, you know. But when the pain went away, we went to the beach again. You know, that's just who we are, right? But anyway, there's pain and there's absence of pain, and we need to be disciplined. God allows pain in our lives to discipline us because we need it. I discipline my kids. I make sure they learn right, right? I don't discipline other people's kids, although the kids down the street, I feel like coming and getting them and doing it because their parents aren't disciplining them, right? You just feel like it, right? But the question is, if you're never having trials, right? Never in trouble, never having trials, and you're always getting away with things, you need to ask yourself, am I one of God's kids? Ooh, that's a scary one, wow. It's almost like, God, throw a trial on me. I want to make sure I belong to you, you know? Go ahead and discipline me. It gets to be a scary thing. Even King David, Hall of Famer, right? Hebrews 11, a man after God's own heart, he didn't get away with the sin. He got caught, adultery and murder, and everybody knows it, right? He got caught. It seems difficult at the time, but later we see that God did it for our own good. And we don't understand it. It's like, whoa, really, God? That's for my good? And I got to tell you a story about a sailor man named Gilligan, right? He set sail for a 3-hour tour. But the weather started getting rough, and his tiny ship was tossed. If not for his courage, he would have drowned, right? But he found his way to an island an uncharted island, right? And before the boat sank, he was able to get the supplies off the boat and bring them to shore. And just as he got all the supplies from the boat on the shore, the boat sank. And he's thinking, you know, I might be here for a little while. This is an uncharted island. So he builds a hut. And every morning he gets up and he's looking at the horizon going, gosh, is a boat going to come and rescue me? And it doesn't. And months go by. And he's sitting there going, you know what? This might be my life. So one day he goes into the island to go look for some food, go hunting. And he comes back, and it's later, it's evening, and he sees his hut is on fire. And he's running as fast as he can to go put the fire out, but he can't do it. And everything he has burns. And he falls to his knees. He's pounding on the ground going, God, why? What did I do? Why? And he just keeps pounding on the ground to the point he just eventually just falls asleep that way. Well, the next morning, he's waking up to somebody shaking him on the shoulder. He turns around, and it's a rescue party. And the guy goes, dude, nice fire last night. We would have never found you if you didn't light that fire. And that's the way it is. We think that, you know, God's doing things to us to be mean. He's not. We just don't get it. We don't understand at the time. We may not get it in this life. We may not understand. But we have to trust Him. We got to get in that wheelbarrow. That's just the way it is. The key. Disasters can turn out to be a great opportunity for God to work in your life. The Lord is always present with us, always intimately acquainted with our circumstances, and He specializes in taking the impossible situations and turning them around for His glory and our benefit. That's how it happens sometimes. In divine sovereignty, the grace, the worst case scenario, somehow becomes the best case scenario. And we know that God causes everything. This verse right here, Romans 8:28, this is the verse that I clung to. It's such a powerful verse. You know, it's like, okay, God, I don't get it, but I trust you. I don't understand. You know, I've had people ask me, go, hey, Don, how come you're smiling all the time? You're always smiling. How can you smile after what's happened to you? And I tell them, you know, it's easy. I know the end of the story. I've read the end of the book. Christians win, right? We prevail. And that's the truth. So, in conclusion, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we come under His protective care. God is fully aware of everything that happens to us, and thankfully, He is never asleep on the job. He pays careful attention to the smallest details of our lives and is in complete control of all circumstances that surround us. He knows what's happening in our lives right now. He knows it's better than we do, and His presence and provision will be all we need to make it through. And so let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you so much just for who you are and for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we don't understand most of the time. We just don't get it. But we just want to trust you. We want to put our faith in you. We just want to know that you're in control. And we just ask that you would just help us bring clarity to our lives. Just be with us, strengthen us and comfort us. Just be with us and help us as we go through this life. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Don Roy speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985.